Let's crack open a four-pack for this particular Todd Wright Toddcast. That's coming up. You get these podcasts for free because of great people from Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. And as a paid non-attorney spokesperson for them, they simply want me to remind those of you who are residents of the state of Florida and have been paying permanent alimony for the last year or more. What are you doing? Because permanent alimony was no longer law in the state of Florida as of July 1st, 2023. Brandon Legal Group can help alleviate or eliminate future financial obligations as it relates to permanent alimony. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576. Pin Chasers back on board with me for the football season. I was actually in a very fun arcade facility that featured bowling last night. Did not do it because I don't want to cheat on Pin Chasers. They are always great to me. I talked about a recent visit to the Pin Chasers that's called the Veterans location, just east of the Veterans Expressway on Hillsborough Avenue, just north, kind of the tip of the landing strip at Tampa International Airport. How busy they were, how well staffed they were, how clean it was, how efficient everything was handled. And let's face it, these places, especially when full, adults and or kids can be pretty chaotic. The Peroni family does very good work at their four Pin Chasers locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Couple of things going on. Bowl Fest, the entire month of August, all month long, buy one, get one game free on bowling at Pin Chasers, which culminates with the Labor Day unlimited bowling from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for only $12 per person. I guess what that means is if you were there at Disney Term, rope drop at 9 a.m., hand over 12 bucks, you don't have to stop bowling until they turn off the lights. Kind of like they do on you at Main Event when you're playing video games and they want to close. 9 p.m., $12 per person. You can just bowl all day. Of note, leading up to this weekend, because the Peroni family and Pin Chasers gives back to the Tampa Bay area community on a regular basis. They annually host the Down to Bowl event with Drew Garabo, John Senning, and 102.5 The Bone that raises a significant amount of money for a local charity. A community giving weekend to benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Tampa Bay is this weekend, August 17th and 18th. The Peroni family and Pin Chasers will donate $5 from every two-hour package to Big Brothers and Big Sisters at all of their locations. So all four, including the new Brandon location, for this coming weekend. Again, Pin Chasers donates $5 from every two-hour bowling package to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Tampa Bay, August 17th and 18th. Visit Pin Chasers at any of their four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Wright.Todd at yahoo.com, Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. Let's get into the four-pack, and because Anthony Peroni and I always seem to talk college football and often talk about the Canes, my alma mater, he's always more optimistic than I am. I have scar tissue from the last 20 plus years, and just the perception. And there are a handful of programs that are like this. Perhaps you're a fan of one that used to be a national title winner, that used to be a national title contender on an annual basis, or had a strong run as a national title contender every year. And now, they're just fighting to be relevant, sort of trying to capture lost glory. And you wonder if it's ever going to happen in your lifetime. I'm not alone in thinking that about my alma mater, Miami, as some may think about their particular alma mater or their favorite college football program that it's a vague term, hasn't won anything of significance for quite some time. So I was having a conversation recently with a very good friend of mine who I often talk about here on the podcast, but he's working on something, and adjacent to that, we just jumped over in our conversation. This is not something he's working on. I would never do that to him in stealing his material. But we both started talking about what may have been one of the more underrated shows on ESPN television going back a few years. Something that if you knew it, you watched it, you taped it, you enjoyed it, you talked about it, you got a lot out of it. And it was the college football final show, in particular with Rhys Davis, Lou Holtz, and Mark May. So both I, this college football reporter, and him and I were talking about what we liked about this show. It was on very, very late. This show never aired before midnight Eastern time. Often would air 1 a.m. Eastern time, maybe even later. I mean, it was late. Then smartly, ESPN or ESPN2, I know, would re-air it early the next morning before kind of turning that page to all their pro football stuff, like the matchup show, which for years had Sal Powell and Jaws on it, and the expanded pregame shows for the NFL. So yeah, college football final, if you know, you know. Rhys, Lou Holtz, Mark May. And this reporter and I were talking about, because he worked at ESPN at the time that this show was airing. I think I left ESPN before that show. Maybe not, because Rhys was a really good guy. It's not like we talked often, but I felt good about my interactions with Rhys. He made me feel good about just my role there at ESPN, and I respected Rhys. So maybe it was around that time, or maybe that show started around that time, although I never had any of them on my show, All Night with Todd Wright. I may have had Rhys on a couple of times. I don't remember having on Coach Holtz. Coach Holtz may have still been – I don't think Coach Holtz was still coaching. Let's take a quick look at that, do the deep dive on when Lou Holtz was actually done as a college football coach. Right around the time I left. So his last year at the University of South Carolina was 2004. So I don't imagine that college football final hatched immediately. It probably came a little bit later in terms of the development. And it was back when we counted on certain highlight shows to provide us with, we want to see something again, we heard about something, or what did we miss? And Rhys was good, obviously. Rhys was promoted to the College Game Day show, sort of the franchise show, when Fowler chose to stop doing the double duty of the Game Day show and the play-by-play of the primetime game. And I guess somewhere around that time was also a bunch of layoffs that my friend was laid off in, and Mark May, who had just signed a new five-year deal. The ink was fresh on Mark May's five-year deal, and they told him, your services are no longer required. So he was paid not to work for the remainder of that five-year deal. And on from there, I guess Lou stepped away somewhere around that time. But that was a good show. If you were a college football fan, if you had a sense of humor with some of the things that Rhys and Mark May would do to trigger Coach Holtz, it was not scripted. Maybe it was planned, but his reaction, they didn't know what they'd get out of him, or some of Mark May's reactions when he would get fired up and how Reese handled it all. Underrated show. Doesn't get talked about enough for how good it was, how entertaining it was for us college football fans that stayed up late or simply set. It was tough to set the DVR for it. You had to have a lot of like lead time or record other things because often the show didn't have a hard start time every week because there were games in front of it before they would ultimately get to that point. Because with few exceptions, they didn't hit the air until the last like top 25 game was over. So we're talking pretty late. Let's segue from that to I have a couple of non-sports things and I don't want to leave them totally to the end. So it would be a better segue for me to go from that to the other sports topic. But I want to talk about words, vernacular. Many years ago, I noticed that spelling doesn't seem to matter as much as when I was in school or when I was a younger adult. I was really into spelling. I enjoyed it because I was good at it. I also worked hard at it. One of my biggest defeats was third grade, Madeira Beach Elementary School, and we're leading up to it's kind of like a golf open. Everybody was eligible in the third grade, and it was our spelling bee day. And we didn't do it in the auditorium, but this was kind of the first step. Were you going to represent Madeira Beach Elementary and the third grade in move on in the bracket? And I was one of the favorites. And there were two other females, both friends of mine, both very smart, cool girls, one named Andrea, one I believe was named Jackie. Andrea was white, Jackie was black, then there was me. And we were sort of considered the top three. I finished third. I was the first to tap out. I will never forget the word that knocked me out and cost me a chance to move on. And the word was rhythm. That I did not spell properly. And to this day, I kind of have the yips on spelling that word. I either overthink it or I don't think about it enough. Spelling doesn't seem to matter as much anymore. And I deduced this a while back. And from what I gather from knowing people involved with public schooling, people, whether it's teachers, administrators, parents, or even now young guys I know that I've gotten to know through golf as they've gotten older and we talk about their schooling, and they just kind of shake their heads that it's not as big of a deal. Well, grammar still means a lot to me. And Drew Garabo from 102.5 The Bone, highly rated afternoon talk show host with John Senning, and I often talk about cool words. And when we learn a new word or we use a particular word, Drew almost daily uses a word pungent. That's Ron Burgundy. Robust. I'm sorry, I just compared Drew to Ron Burgundy because Ron Burgundy called the bad cologne that Paul Rudd's character used in Anchorman quite pungent. Drew uses the word robust almost on a daily basis, and we often share information on words. One of the things that Drew said before he ever became a friend, before he ever became one of my favorite golf partners, before he ever started, supporting and promoting my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, any of that. Somehow there was a what's your go-to fast food order conversation on Drew's show. It's something that most people can relate to. It was a good segment. And at one point, the Filet-O-Fish sandwich came up from McDonald's. And Drew was very quick to jump in and clarify that referring to multiple Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, the term Filet-O-Fishes was not accurate. And Drew emphasized the accurate presentation was Filets-O-Fish. And when I heard that, I thought, makes sense to me, sounds right, and another reason why I like this guy and I'm listening to this show. So, on my own time recently, I've been listening to a podcast hosted by Ed Helms. Yes, the actor. It's very good. And I'm one of those, when I jump into something, I don't often start at the beginning. If you're successful enough to get a season two or a season three, sometimes I jump in there. And then I decide, based on what I'm watching, I can go back later. I don't mind seeing things out of order. It's not in a particular season, but I don't need to see season one before season two. So I jumped in with Ed Helms' podcast on season two, and I ended up going down a wormhole as it related to J. Edgar Hoover. And it's fascinating. I'll leave a lot of that out for now. But at one point, Ed Helms is talking about how long J. Edgar Hoover was a federal employee and how even a president waived a mandatory retirement because of and for J. Edgar Hoover. So Ed Helms says in the podcast how J. Edgar Hoover's tenure lasted eight presidents. And then came this, and I hit pause and rewind, and then pause and rewind, and pause and rewind. 16 attorneys general. Did you hear that? It's not attorney generals. It's attorneys general. So, just like Filets-O-Fish, if you are referring to multiple people who have held the position of attorney general, you do not refer to them as a group as attorney generals. They are attorneys general. Thank you, Ed Helms, for that note that you gave me. And I am enjoying your podcast. Okay. One more non-sports, and then we'll end on a sports note. This, in my summer of doing some things different, and stopping doing other things that has flown by. One of the things I think I've mentioned is read more. Read more books and enjoy audiobooks. Audiobooks were basically podcasts before there were podcasts, especially audiobooks that have narration from the people doing the autobiography. And I had recommended to me over a month ago from a very smart, very unique personality who is a college professor in the Tampa Bay area. He recommended an author of books, and in particular, I was looking for nonfiction. I'm sorry. I was looking for fiction because I'm not a fan of fiction in books. I'm more of a fan of tell me something that's more knowledge rather than just entertainment. But I found a connection. So the professor recommended a writer named Carl Hiaasen. And that writer worked for the Miami Herald for years and wrote a lot of Florida-based stuff. So I'm like, okay, I might be able to connect to this. And then when I dug into his work, suddenly I discovered that Carl Hiaasen had a particular nonfiction work. No, I'm sorry, fiction work that in a month was going to be a new television show. And I said, sold. This is the book I want. I ordered it, and it was my challenge. Read the book cover to cover. I chose to read it rather than do the audiobook. I didn't really love the narrator, and apparently other people didn't either. But I'm like, no, let's turn the pages on this one. And I finished the book before the show premiered. In real time, we were recording this podcast on August 14th, the day the TV show's first couple episodes are available on Apple TV. The book is called Bad Monkey. It's the same title for the show now on Apple TV. And I can tell you how enjoyable the book was. Very, very enjoyable. Lot of different characters and well done how it all sort of connects as I work my way through the book. I did take an element of the fact that it was becoming a television show before I ever watched the television show. As I talk to you now, I haven't watched the television show. It's available. I'm going to watch it. I'm still only having book knowledge. But as I read the book, the main character in the book is played by Vince Vaughn in the TV show. So as I read the book, I pictured that character as Vince Vaughn. And as I'm reading quotes in the book from that character, I'm hearing it in my head as Vince Vaughn's voice. The casting is excellent. Don't know about the rest of the casting. Vince Vaughn's girlfriend, the medical examiner in the book, or I'm sorry, in the show, it's Yancey is the character in the book that he plays on the TV show. She does some enticing things. Very interesting. So I hope her female character plays her well, because she's not as well known. But I'll leave you with that. For those of you that have Apple TV or you're in that point right of, I need a new show. This is a brand new show. It is based on a book. And I can tell you from reading the book cover to cover, the book is excellent. And if this show does well, apparently the showrunner is going to develop future Carl Hiaasen fiction novels for shows as well. So there's my recommendation. Last thing, amidst talk, by the time you hear this, we may know a little bit more. One of the six rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round this year already has an injury situation, and that's J.J. McCarthy from the national champion Michigan Wolverines, despite three touchdowns and a successful NFL preseason debut last weekend. He had some problems with his knee, I guess, either leading up to the game, during the game, examination after the game, and he's got a meniscus problem. And as of the time of this broadcast, apparently the choice on McCarthy is do a modest procedure, or this could be a season-ending thing or something longer term. It means that, and we had been hearing out of camp prior to McCarthy's performance in the preseason game that it was Sam Darnold's job anyway. Now, I don't know if McCarthy's 100% healthy off what he did in that preseason game, maybe things are changing. But they're not now, and it's clearly Darnold's job going forward, since we don't know when J.J. McCarthy might be healthy enough to play And is there really any reason to rush him off something that needs medical attention? If you believe in Sam Darnold, which the Vikings all along said they did. Last year, Kyle Shanahan said he did as the backup to Brock Purdy, someone he didn't have for the NFC Championship game the year before when the Niners ran out of quarterbacks against the Philadelphia Eagles. Sam Darnold is this year's Baker Mayfield in this sense. He has an opportunity to kickstart his career. He has a second chance. I'm not saying Sam Darnold's results will be Baker Mayfield's results. But a year ago, we were sitting here talking about Baker Mayfield, a failed number one pick of the 2018 National Football League draft, who had played for three different teams and suddenly was looking for a job. Signed a low-cost, risk-reward deal for team and player with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it worked for Mayfield, and it worked for the Buccaneers. Mayfield now has, in essence, a two-year deal worth about $30 million per. Technically, the deal's 3 years for $100 million, but that third year is going to go away. They'll extend Mayfield either during or after the 2025 season and rip up that third year, or the Bucs can move on from him after the 2025 season, depending on what he does the next 2 years. But it worked for Mayfield, and it worked for the Buccaneers, who won the division, continued their streak of the longest franchise in the NFC with consecutive playoff appearances, won a playoff game, and then were very competitive in the divisional round to the Lions. That now is in front of Sam Darnold, who is on a one-year, $10 million deal. So more than Mayfield got, even with the incentives Mayfield cashed in. Last year, was Mayfield dealing with a, technically we heard there was a quarterback competition with Kyle Trask. I don't really think there was. I still believe Mayfield and his agent said to the Bucs, we'll do this deal, but we're the starter opening day. Otherwise, we're not signing this. And if you're not planning on using us opening day, then you can cut us, you know, and let's find something else. So dissimilar with McCarthy, but I think the plan for the Bucs all along last year, whether it was Mayfield's idea or the Bucs' idea, was it was Mayfield's job until further notice. And this year with the Vikings, it felt it was Sam Darnold's job, even with the presence of McCarthy, until further notice. And now McCarthy doesn't appear to be in the picture as much due to an injury situation that we will learn more about in the coming days and weeks. So can Darnold cash in? Can Darnold do for himself and presumably for the Vikings what Mayfield did for himself and the Buccaneers last year in a very similar spot? Mayfield was the number one pick of the 2018 draft. Darnold was the number three pick of the 2018 draft. Both drafted by historically shit franchises, the Browns and the Jets. And if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, who was the number two pick of that draft between them? Yeah, he just changed teams too. But he had a lot of success with the Giants. And that was Saquon Barkley, now with the Eagles. We'll stop there. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Wow, this went 30 minutes. I'm sorry. Thanks for staying with me this long. Write me other ideas for the podcast. The Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is cranking out new episodes almost daily. You can do a search for that via jovebucksfan.com or wherever you get your podcast for those of you that are fantasy fans. The Todd Wright Toddcast presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. We will talk to you next time.